continuing on this theme of resurrection life, and last Wednesday or the Wednesday before, I was sharing on being a new creature in Christ. I think sometimes we've been churched so much that we almost tune out when we hear, I know that scripture, I quote it. But does it really register? It's the entrance of his word, Psalm 119, 130, that brings light, it brings revelation. And the more you meditate upon something, more light comes in and revelation as to who you really are. That's what the Holy Ghost was saying. Do you really know who you are in him, in Christ? So when we speak that name, it's spoken from a place of my new place in Christ. And so wanted to share today a little bit about our identification with Christ. And we're going to jump in here. It's not going to be a long message because we have a few other things. We have communion. But I wanted to highlight some things that I believe will help us. I'm going to look at some scriptures in the book of Hebrews because we know from the scripture that God sent Jesus here to redeem mankind. And we know because of Adam's sin or transgression, mankind became separated from God. And there was the need for a redeemer, a perfect lamb, as the scripture said, was slain from the foundation of the world. So we needed a sinless, spotless lamb, and we received that in Jesus through the incarnation, and we received this spotless lamb who went to Calvary and was crucified, died, and was buried, went to hell with our sins. He didn't have to go, but he said, "Not my will, but your will, Lord." And he went and took all of that, and the scripture says, he literally became sin. He didn't come just for sin. He became sin. And so we want to just take a little bit here and spend a few moments here. But when we look at primarily, that's why when Brother Hagin was alive, he'd say, yeah, read your Bible, but spend most of your time in the epistles. Because in the Pauline revelation, God unfolded and revealed the actual purpose, you could say, of the crucifixion, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So we didn't see that in the Gospels. Jesus began to share, he came. He was going to be crucified and buried, and he was going to be raised. So he forecasted that. But the actual revelation of what was actually going to take place, that was hidden and not revealed until Paul came on the scene. And so we spend our time in the epistles and in the New Testament. So let's take a look here. I want to open up today because Jesus, as we all are familiar, he is our Redeemer. And Jesus came to bring a new way of life. And I want to bring something out because you have, I'm going to use this word system or truth. In the Old Testament, there was a way of living. There was, you could say, an old system. And when Jesus came and was raised from the dead, there was a new truth, a new way of living. He said, what did he say in John 10:10? I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So there was a new way of living that they didn't have in the Old Testament. It was types and shadows. So let's take a look. We're going to ask them to we're going to start with the Passion Translation of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. And just going to read a few verses here because I think it brings out that which I'm sharing here. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1, this is the Passion Translation. And when that comes up, we'll start to read here. It says, the old system, see that word system? The old system of living under the law presented us with only a faint shadow, a crude outline of the reality of the wonderful blessings to come. Even with its steady stream of sacrifices offered year after year, this is what they had to do. They had to offer the blood of lambs and goats and so forth. There still was nothing that could make our hearts perfect before God. That's why I say we have this new life in us. And then it says, for if, verse 2, for if animal sacrifices could once and for all eliminate sin, they would have ceased to be offered, and the worshipers would have clean consciences. Instead, once was not enough. So by the repetitive sacrifices, year after year, the worshipers were continually reminded of their sins with their hearts still impure. We're going to continue. We're never reminded of our sin. Satan does. Satan keeps bringing up, you did this, you did this. He sacrificed once with his blood, and sin has been removed. He never brings up your sin before you. See, that ought to give you a clue when thoughts come. You go, no, that's not God. That's not God. So what else it says? Verse 3, verse 4. For what power does the blood of bulls and goats have to remove sin's guilt? So when Jesus the Messiah came into the world, he said, since your ultimate desire was not another animal sacrifice, you have clothed me with a body that I might offer myself instead. Verse 6, multiple burnt offerings and sin offerings cannot satisfy your justice. So I said to you, God, I will be the one to go and do your will and to fulfill all that is written of me in your word. First, he said, multiple burnt offerings and sin offerings cannot satisfy your justice, even though the law required them to be offered. And then he said, God, I will be the one to go and do your will. So by being the sacrifice that removes sin, he abolishes animal sacrifices. Now listen to this. And replaces that entire system with the new covenant. Oh, we have a new way of living. We've been redeemed. So listen, verse 10, by God's will, we have been purified and made holy once and for all through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus, the Messiah. So we've been made holy once and for all through the blood of Jesus. We have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Don't forget it. So when we look at the old system of living, the old way of living, just think about this when we've read through the Old Testament and we read about the heroes, Abraham. We read about Elijah, Elisha, David. And we look at those stories and we think, they were superhuman. When we read those stories, we're like, my God. But they were under an old way of living. And Jesus came and was the mediator of a better covenant. So what does that make us? Not only new creatures, we are, it's what is Galatians 2:20? It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. So he lives in us. Yes. 2 Corinthians 5:21 in the New Living Translation. It says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin." This is what we just got done reading in Hebrews. And it says, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. We've been made right, or the righteousness of God in Him, in Christ. Now let's look at Hebrews 9:12. Familiar scripture? This is what we just got done reading in Hebrews chapter 10. But Hebrews 9:12, it says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by what? His own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." So, as the scripture said, he broke down the middle wall of partition that separated us. Now mankind can approach God and by faith receive him, receive Christ, because no man comes unto the Father but by him, Christ. So the new birth gives man what? Resurrection life. Gives him eternal life. So God makes us righteous. How? By breaking the power of sin and the effect of sin in our lives. This is the new way of living. That's why when we looked at when we looked at Hebrews 10, it said, they had to be reminded of their sin every year, so they had to keep offering the blood of goats and calves to cover the sin. But Jesus entered in once and obtained our eternal redemption and breaking the power of sin over us. So we don't need to be reminded of it. And the Holy Ghost will know, because he lives in us, if we've missed it. But there's not the sacrifice. Jesus went in once and paid for sin and the power of it. So let's take a look at the Passion Translation. In Romans the eighth chapter, in verse 3. So righteousness, which is what we've become in Christ, we've become the righteousness of God in Christ. It's not just something that was imputed into us, but we've literally become right with God. We've received his very nature in us. This is what they didn't have under the old way of living. You see, the old system. So the Passion Translation of Romans 8:3, this expands a little more. It says, "For God achieved what the law was unable to accomplish. Because the law was limited by the weakness of what? Human nature. They didn't have God living in them. The power of sin had not been broken. So it said, yet God sent his Son in human form to identify with human weakness. Clothed with humanity, God's Son gave his body to be the sin offering so that God could once and for all condemn the guilt and power of sin." So when people say, "I'm struggling with something," what that tells me is the light of the gospel hasn't come in. Because sin and the power of it over your life, over your body, over your mind has been broken once and for all. And so what it tells me, and it tells all of us, if we're struggling in a particular area, it could be anything. It could be anger, it could be worry, it could be smoking, it could be drinking, whatever that is, that weakness in the flesh has been broken. It's been broken. And we then need to do what? Let the light of the gospel in, because it says in 2 Corinthians, before I jump there, let's look at the New Living Translation of Romans 6, verse 17. This is the New Living Translation. The New Living. It says, "Thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching." See, it's the entrance of his word and us obeying it. And then what does it say? It says that we have given you, now you are free from the slavery of sin and you have become the slaves to righteous living. So it's the power of the gospel that frees us. It's the power of the gospel and the entrance of it that frees us. When we realize we're free, we won't even work. We're like, "I'm free. I'm free. I'm free." Now, that doesn't mean the temptations won't come. That doesn't mean they won't come. But you say, "No, I'm free. I'm not going to do that." You know, I think about it when I was growing up in my 20s and a little earlier than that. You know, when I went through college, I got out. And at that time, you know, just industry at that time, engineering and all of that, and industry, I was trying to get a corporate job and it was just slim pickings. So going through college, I had worked in construction during the summers, working as an electrician, you know, like a helper. And so I roughed out houses, I worked on commercial construction jobs, doing whatever, right? And I worked out of the local union right here in Rockland County, Local 363, the electrician's union. So I worked summers, and I did that, and got good at it. And actually, they entrusted me, and I probably shouldn't have, but they did, to literally run and rough out jobs, like right up here on 45. You know, they've got big condominium complexes. I did that. This is 40, 50 years ago. But the point was that I was around these construction workers, and I picked up some bad habits, like cursing. That was just the way we were. We just cursed at everything, anything and everything. You acquired a four-letter vocabulary. I don't have to explain, but you understand what I mean. Your adjectives, adverbs, everything was a curse word. And so I could turn that on and off in the right settings. Because if you turned it on in the wrong settings, you might have your face rearranged. Or if I was home, we didn't talk like that. So I remember, this is why I know I'm a new creature in Christ. The very moment I got saved, I was at an Assembly of God church, and the pastor, who we know, John Lipscomb, who went home to be with the Lord, he walked up to me and said, "Are you saved?" And I said, "No." He said, you want to receive Christ?" I said, "Yes." And I prayed a simple prayer with him. Left out of that church, went home, was working on my sports car at the time. I'm underneath, and I did something, and I whacked my hand. Now, because of my profanity, it would have normally, there'd have been a litany of just blah, 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 curse words. Nothing came out. And I'm under the car and I go, "What happened to me?" I'm serious. Nothing came out. And to this day, if you hold off and hit me, nothing. I mean, whatever would have caused me to curse has been changed. And so that's no different in any of us that had other habits, that the moment you accepted Christ, what happens? It says we no longer are subject to sin, but now we desire to live a certain way. Now, it doesn't mean we don't miss it, but the more we stay in His Word, the more we feed upon the Word, we miss it less and less and less and less and less. That's what I'm talking about. There's a new way of living. Why? Because I'm in Him now. He's in me. Yeah, exactly. I can hear myself talking. So listen to Romans chapter 1. This is what we're talking about. Romans chapter 1. It's all right. Don't worry about it. I'm not nervous about it. Romans chapter 1 in the Passion Translation. We're all familiar with this in the King James when it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it," the gospel, "is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and then the Gentile." But look at the Passion. It says, "For I refuse," I like that, "I refuse to be ashamed of sharing the wonderful message of" what? "God's liberating power unleashed in us." Oh, it's liberating power that's been unleashed in us. How? Through Christ. Oh, the gospel is, it will liberate us from these things that held us bound. Habits and attitudes about things in life. We're free. We've been delivered. So don't, what does it say? "Who hath bewitched you?" You're free. Then it goes on, "For I am thrilled" to what? "To preach that everyone who believes is saved, the Jew first, and then people everywhere." We're the people everywhere. We're free. Mark Hankins said this, I like this. He says, you cannot have a relationship with God without having a relationship with the Word of God. Amen. Oh, that's good. You cannot have a relationship with God without having a relationship with the Word of God. Because the Word is God. Because He is the Word. Yeah. So, and it's the Word that unleashes this liberating power in us. Glory to God. So Colossians 1:13 in the Amplified. We're all familiar in the King James, but I like just to read this in the Amplified. It says, the Father has delivered, he's done what? Has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So his very nature has come into us. He identified with us so that we can now identify with him. And so in Philippians, we'll expand a little more here. Amplified Classic, Philippians 2:13, talking about God who's in us. It says, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually what? At work in you, energizing, see, and creating in you the power and the what? The desire both to will and work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. So he is energizing us and giving us the desire to live right. That's what we're talking about. When I want to do something that's not right, the Holy Ghost in me energizes me and gives me what? The wherewithal and the desire to live right. Now, like I said, you may miss it, but I can tell you that desire in there to live right is still there and you're not comfortable. You can't keep doing wrong. Because that desire to live right is in there. That's why it says that we've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, which liveth and abideth in us forever. So the seed, the Word of God, is in us and energizes us and unleashes in us this desire to follow Him, serve Him, and to do right and reach other people. Right? So we're not doing this solo. You know, we're not on this by ourselves, this venture, this journey. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 and 2 in the Passion Translation. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2 in the Passion. It says, so now the case is closed. See, I like this, right? Don't keep bringing up the facts, you know, the old way. It says, so the case is closed. Say, the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation. The case is closed. And that's liberating right there. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are what? Joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. For the law of the Spirit of life flowing through the anointing of Jesus has what? Liberated us from the law of sin and death, the old way. He's liberated us. Jesus came to give us life, resurrection life. It liberated us from the power of sin. Isn't that exciting? Oh, yes. So this is why the entrance of his word and the light of the gospel entering in, what is 2 Corinthians 4:4 in the King James? It said, in whom the God of this world, who's he talking about? Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See, so he's blinding people so that the light of the gospel doesn't enter in. Because when it does, you become aware, I'm liberated. I'm free. The case is closed. No more accusing voice. So we're free and set free. But he's blinding the minds of those that are lost, lest the light of the gospel shines in. That's where we come in. We've been set free to share this good news that Jesus paid for the sins. He became sin. And he became the sin for everybody. Everyone. And the devil's trying to blind that. The people that they don't know. You see. So let's close with this. We're going to look briefly. So we've been raised. Well, let's look at this first. Jesus came to do what? We know that Adam sinned. Jesus came. He's the mediator of a new covenant, better promises. And the scripture in 1 Corinthians 15 talks about Jesus being the last Adam. So Adam, when he was on this earth, had no sin, and he had authority. He was what Satan became. He was the god of this world. Adam was. He was the ruler over this earth. And so when he messed up, what happened? He was ushered out of the garden. And what happened? Sin took over and was passed on to mankind. This is why Jesus came. But Jesus, in 1 Corinthians 15:45, this is exactly what we're sharing here. Amplified Classic. It says, thus it is written, the first Adam became a living being, an individual personality. The last Adam, Christ, became a life-giving spirit, restoring the dead to life. We were dead, separated from God. Our spirits were dead, not alive unto God. And he came as a life-giving spirit to give, to what? To restore, it says, the dead to life. So we have been raised from the dead with him. This is what the scripture says. We've been raised from the dead with him. Well, the scripture said we were crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. But then we were buried with him, as it says, just like we were buried with him in baptism. And then it goes on to say we were raised with him. And then what? Seated with him in heavenly places with Christ. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. And we're just going to walk through this in the New Living Translation. It'll be on the screen. But from verse 17 through 23, and then we'll continue right through chapter 2, right through verse 7. It says, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in the knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be what? Flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness. See this here? Paul's praying this to the church at Ephesus. He said, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. That's us. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now look at verse 21. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. Talking about Jesus here. And then it says, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Now that would be exciting just if we stopped there. But let's continue in chapter 2 because it begins to talk about the church. It begins to talk about us. And you can begin to see the relationship in these first 7 verses in chapter 2 to what we just got done reading in chapter 1. Now listen. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin. Boy, did we. Just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in what? In the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. See, we've chosen to obey him. And he's unleashed in us the ability to serve him. And so it goes on. Verse 3. All of us used to live that way. Say amen. Amen. We sure did. Following the what? The passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. That's what Jesus broke. The power of sin so that these passions and desires, it's not that they don't come, but they don't have control of you anymore. He's in me. Right? It says, by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. Now, I want to read verse 6 because this points us back to the other verses in 20 and 21 in chapter 1. Look at verse 6. It says, for he raised us. See, before it was talking about Jesus being raised. This says he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms. Why? Because we are united with Christ. So now look, what does verse 7 say? So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in us, he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. So when we talk about our identification with Christ, when this says he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus, I can go back now in verse 21 and 20 when it says, raised Christ from the dead and seated him in a place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. This is verse 21 of chapter 1. And it says, now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. That means me. I'm seated with him far above all authority. That doesn't mean I act like I have no responsibility. But what you understand, we're talking about realms of darkness when we talk about this. We're talking about, now, if he is, I am. I am seated far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. That's why you read 22 when it says God has put all things under the authority of Christ. He's the head, we're the body. And he's made this for our benefit. So don't let things rule you. You're in Christ. You're seated above the devil and darkness. You're because its power has been broken over us. That's when we said we've been delivered from the power of darkness. There's no more. That's when it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, this case is closed. This case is closed. There is no more, what does it say? There's no more accusing voice. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. We're redeemed. We're new creatures in Christ. I have dominion and authority because of the name of Jesus, because of the Word of God. It's this Word that has the power in it to change things. That's why our words are so important. We don't just use words recklessly, but when we release faith-filled words, they change things. Because we've been placed in a place of authority in Christ. And he desires the body of Christ down here to operate according to his word, his instructions, and as he sees fit. You see, this is why when we come together, it's so important when we talk about this National Day of Prayer that the body of Christ comes together in unity and begins to decree the Word of God and begins to decree these better promises, because Jesus is Lord. And no matter what goes on in this country or any other country, Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. And we've shared this. Satan is blinding the minds of them that are lost, and he is desiring to operate through people to create, as Pastor Greg has been teaching, distractions. So that we are distracted from who we really are. I'm seated with him in heavenly places, far above, far above. So whenever the mess comes in your life, You just have to remind it, wait a minute, no, the case is closed. I'm redeemed and I'm seated far above you. And you begin to speak to the problems and issues. They must change. And this is why he, meaning the devil, will try to discourage us and try to get us to think it ain't changing, it ain't working. Oh, yes, it is. It's working. Remember what Jesus said, or not Jesus, the prophet Isaiah? He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Just stick with the word of God. Stick with the promises of God, because he watches over them to bring them to pass. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word today. For it brings within to us the power of God. The liberating power of God is unleashed in us through the word of God. And so, Father, we thank you. Thank you for the liberating power of God unleashed in us to break the hold of Satan in our lives and others. And we thank you for it. See, this is why it's so important. Just take a moment and think about Matthew 18:18. This is why we've been given, the body of Christ has been given what? Authority, and to bind and loose. What he says, what things soever you bind, or more modern translations, which I like better, says whatever you forbid on earth must already be forbidden in heaven. What's forbidden in heaven? Hate, sin, worry, anger? Well, if it's forbidden in heaven, then I have an opportunity and I have a charge from the Master Jesus to forbid it here on earth. What is allowed in heaven? Healing, peace, joy, salvation. If it's allowed in heaven, then I'm to decree it here. I'm to speak it here. Glory to God. So he's expecting us in whatever area that we go in, the areas of life we go in, to let him work and operate through us to release the wonderful message of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto what? Salvation. That word is soteria, that Greek word. It means deliverance, healing, salvation. Yes. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Well, before we leave, I just would like to extend to us, those here in this room, and those maybe watching online, we always extend the gospel message of what Christ came. He died for mankind. Why would we not want to share that or extend that to people? The great sacrifice of Jesus. So he said, very simple, what did he say? He said, if we believe in our hearts and we do what? Confess with our mouth that we will be saved. As for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we want to do that today. Those who are here, if you don't ever remember doing that, you know, it's like me, I never did it. But the moment I did, you know, sometimes, you know, it's like anything. What does the scripture say? We're to walk by faith and not by sight or natural feelings. I didn't feel anything that day when I accepted Jesus. I said a simple prayer, but man, the power of God was unleashed in me You know, when I went home to work on my car and no cursing came out, there was a burning down here. That's what happened. There was a burning sensation. And it wasn't tacos or enchiladas or whatever else you want to, but it was burning. And I said, you know, if you don't know what happened to you, you're like, what happened to me? What's going on? But there was a change from death to life. So when you ask Jesus to come in, you may feel nothing, but something happened. Life came in to you. So we just want to extend that to you today and say this simple prayer. If you're here or you're watching online, and we're not asking, I think so often people say, well, what does that mean? What it means is that you're asking Jesus to come into your heart, to change you, to help you in life, that you receive eternal life, so that perchance when you leave this earth and Jesus hasn't returned, the moment you leave your body, you're going to heaven. Because there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. So we choose heaven, and this is how we do, by receiving the one that paid the debt for us with his blood. So if you just share that, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ and that he raised him from the dead, you believe that and say it with your mouth in faith, instantly there's a change. So let's say this. Father God, I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I believe that he came in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. I believe he took our sins and brought them to hell. And when sin was paid for, we were released and raised from the dead in Jesus' name. I ask you to cleanse me with his blood. Give me the power to serve you with all of my heart the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Now, if you said that simple prayer and you meant it, then you became born again, you became saved, you received eternal life. And as they say, you received a ticket to heaven. Glory to God. Praise God. So let us know if you're watching online or you're here. We'll give you some free information. We'll give you information as to who you have just become. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God.